Welcome to another episode of Living an Altered Life. And this week's guest is a gentleman that I have got to meet at a couple of crazy races and just really impressed by the way that he is very steady, very, very steady all the time. And then I looked him up and I was like, oh my gosh, I did not realize what a legend this guy is. And so let's bring in Mr. David Ellsburn. David, you ready to go for a run?
Sure, Mike.
All right.
Anytime.
I'll bet. So first of all, I have to say this. David is 71, but when you see him, when you told me that you were 71 at the Dome this year, I was in shock because I thought for sure you were in your 50s.
Yeah, I'll be 71 in a couple of weeks.
That's amazing. Well, happy birthday early. That's incredible. So tell us a little bit about yourself, David. What do you do when you're not out running ultra marathons?
I work for a company that makes pacemakers, and I started a garden and, you know, all the usual stuff.
Cool. And where do you live? In Oregon, right?
Yes.
Awesome. And what town?
Salem, Oregon. It's the capital. It's a little bit south of Portland.
Cool. And have you been there forever, or is that a new place, or what?
I've been here since like 1980.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a long time.
My spouse has never lived anywhere else, so she has very deep roots. If I try to uproot it by saying, oh, let's move to Wyoming, it's like, nope, no way. this is where all her friends and everything are.
That's awesome. And do you guys have any kids?
Yes, I have two kids and 5 grandkids and a great grandkid on the way, which I'm not 100% happy about because I don't want to be that old, you know.
I was going to say, wait a second, you're not old enough to be a great granddad, are you?
Yes.
Wow, that's incredible. Wow. So 5 grandkids and a great grandkid on the way and 2 kids. That's amazing. Are they near you in Oregon then, or?
Some of them are, and some of them moved to Texas. So,
okay.
It gives us a chance to take a trip to Texas once in a while.
Yeah, find a race in Texas, right?
Yes.
There you go. Well, let's jump into the running thing, because you have got an amazing resume just on Ultra Sign Up. And I know that that's not the half of what you've done, because that's never the full thing. When did you start running?
I started running about 1999, somewhere in there. I'd run a little bit in college, just casually. I had IT band syndrome and I never figured it out.
Okay.
I didn't figure it out until later in life. So I got back into it because I was going on a hike with my daughter and she was in middle school and I had trouble keeping up with her. I was helping her. No, this isn't good. I got to get myself back in shape. And then I figured out the IT band thing and off and running.
That's awesome. What did you figure out that solved the IT band thing?
Well, I think there's different causes to it, but in my case, it was like hip weakness. So I'd lay on my side and do leg raises and build up the hip strength, and that eventually did the trick.
Wow, that's awesome. Good on you for finding out what it is.
I have a great respect for physical therapists. You know, you go to an orthopedic guy or a GP or something, and then they go, rest it for a while, ice it and all that. And then physical therapists will dig in and say, oh, you have this muscle imbalance, or here's what's going on, and here's the exercise you need to do. So many of them are just really amazing.
They are. And, you know, it's cool. I have a massage therapist that is very similar, because I go to her after every single one of these big races and she goes, okay, here's what you got going on. Here's what we're going to do to fix it. And I love it, because it's like, okay, not just, you know, put a Band-Aid on it, but this is where you don't have strength and you need to build this kind of strength in order to solve this problem. And so there's a lot of smart people out there, aren't there?
Yes. My wife is a stoic, so something is physically wrong with her. She hardly ever complains. It's pretty amazing. But her attitude is like, well, I guess that's my lot in life. But as ultra runners, it's like, no, we're gonna figure this out. We'll try this, and if it doesn't work out, we'll try something else, and we'll go see an expert or something, and eventually we'll figure it out, hopefully.
Exactly. Yeah. I think most of us do figure it out. And that's kind of the beauty of ultra running. That is kind of weird, because we run a lot of these races together and we get to know people and we go, okay, man, I'm dealing with this. And somebody else has already dealt with it. I remember, 6 days in the Dome last year. I was talking to Lindsay Walters on one of the laps, and I was telling her I had this problem. She's like, okay, you need to stop and you need to do this, and this, that'll take care of that problem. And I was like, huh? It was like, this is so cool. So, yeah, neat community.
Yeah.
So, did you get straight into ultra running, or when did you run your first ultra?
No, it was mostly, it was at first it was just like running with a coworker and during lunch and stuff like that. And then eventually I never thought I could run a marathon for decades, you know. I thought, oh, that's for people who are really good. And
Right.
then as I started running further and further, I started running and walking and running and walking and spacing it out. And I thought, well, maybe I'll get up there. And then I thought, well, maybe I'll never be able to run a full marathon, but I can run and walk. So maybe I can do a 50K because you do a lot of walking. So I did
Right.
3 50Ks before I did my first marathon.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. That is
So
cool. So what was your first 50K?
it was a flat 50K up in Portland. And then I came in second place, but it was second place out of three men, and then the two women in the race beat all the men. So I
That's
can't really
awesome.
brag about it, you know.
Well, you can. You just don't just leave out that there were only five people total in the race. Nobody
right.
will ever
That's
know.
right.
That's awesome.
I find as I age that it's I can often gold medal because I'm the only one in my age group, you know. So that's a big benefit.
It is a benefit. Yeah, unfortunately, like I'm in the 60 age group now, and there's some really stout 60-year-olds in the 60-year-old age group. I was like, okay, I'll get to 60 and I can dominate. And then all of a sudden it's like, wait a second, these guys are monsters, man. So
Yeah, and
yeah, who knows?
the 50-year-old age group is really competitive too, because
Yeah.
you're still pretty strong at 50, and then all the casual college runners, they've given up running a long time ago, so you're in a real competitive crowd.
Yeah, no kidding. So one of the things I noticed is you're actually a two-time finisher of Western State.
Yes,
And they were like years apart.
which astounds me. I think earlier I tried to get in, and they had like a, if you get rejected twice and then the third time you're in automatically. And something had always happened. I would be late to get my application in, or I would be sick that year or something. And then finally got really hard to get in, but I was lucky to be able to get in twice.
Yeah, what an experience. So it looked like one of the years you were a golden hour finisher. So that must have been amazing.
Yes, it was like, oh, how come it's so much different than the first time? Well, it must be a lot hotter year. And I think I was in denial, but I was aging. And so it was getting, I was just a little bit slower, you know. And
Right.
that's, I think that was, it's very hard for me. It was very hard for me to accept that I was aging and getting slower. But you have to accept that, you know, you have,
Yep.
otherwise you're just not going to be happy.
Exactly. Yeah, I totally agree with that sentiment.
We have experience, and that
Exactly.
helps a lot.
Yeah. So now you've done a lot of the multi-day races too. You and I met last year at 6 Days in the Dome. You ran the 48-hour last year, right?
Yes.
And you were first last year, first male.
First male. And again, a woman was first place overall,
Yep.
so.
Yeah. And then at across the years, did you do 48-hour at across the years also?
Yes.
And you finished pretty well there too, didn't you?
Yes. There's a lot of people that go to across the year, so it's more competitive. I forget where I finished,
Okay.
but a little bit down the list, you know.
Yep. And how many, do you know how many 48-hour races you've raced?
Probably 4 or 5.
Okay. You seem to do really, really good at the 48-hour. Is that a race that you're comfortable with now or what?
I think I'm comfortable with it. First, it was like 24 hours, you can stick it out pretty well. And at 48 hours, you really have to be determined to go the whole 48 hours. But now it's kind of like I've slotted into that it seems to be a pretty good fit.
Right. But you still run a lot of 50Ks and 50-miler type of things, don't you?
A fewer and fewer as I get older, but you know, I don't want to ever give it up. So I
Right.
just have to space it out and give myself the time to recover and stuff like that.
Yeah. Do you find that as you age that it takes longer to recover?
I think I'm trying to figure that out now, but it used to be that I would do 100 miler, and after 2 weeks, I would feel pretty darn good, and I would start wrapping up my mileage, and then my body would say, "No, you're tired still."
Okay.
And so I figured out it was like 4 weeks, and now I'm trying to determine, is it still 4 weeks or is it 6 weeks? Or I think it is taking longer.
Okay. So what is kind of your weekly routine look like when you're training these days?
Well, it used to be I would do like 30 or 40 miles in the off season. I would try to work up to 60 miles a week for a couple of months before a big race in the summer. And now it seems like all my mileage is about half as much. I would like to be able to do what I did before, but I have to do what I can do, you know, and
right.
Otherwise you just tear your body down.
Yep. So what do you find is your go-to to get your body in shape? Like, do you do like strength exercises and stuff besides the just running, or?
Strength exercises are definitely on my list, but it seems it's very hard to get to them.
Right.
But, you know, I think they're very important.
Yep.
The main thing, a couple years ago, I was going to give up running because I was just exhausted all the time. I would run, have two good runs in the week, and then the other 5 days I'd be too tired to run. So I got a coach, and the main thing in my routine is consistency. You got to get out every day and do a little bit and be consistent, and then you'll do much better.
Yeah, I agree with the moving every day. I try to do something every day. Doesn't have to be, you know, high mileage or anything like that, but I'm finding that if I keep my body moving a little bit every day, it's better than the big long run stacked on the weekends.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing. All right, so let's talk a little bit about Western States. What was it like running Western States? Like, you, last time you ran it was 2018. What was that like?
Western States always has captivated my imagination, and I knew Tim Tweetmeyer through my brother, you know, casual thing. But so it's always captivated me. And when I actually got there, you know, it was just overwhelming. And then I had figured out exactly how fast I should be. I should be within a certain range. And I did even better than that. It was just an amazing race, but it ended up being a very cold year. And so I think that helped, but yeah, it was amazing. And then the second time, 6 years older, it was hotter, and I was pushing the cutoffs, and 2/3 of the race going up to Green Gate, it's like I'm looking at my watch and doing the mental calculations. And it's like, you know, Dave, you're not going to make it. If you go at the speed that you have to go at to finish the race, you're just not going to make it. But, you know, I'm not going to quit in the middle of the race, not in the middle of Western States. I'm going to go until they pull me. And then I kept on going, and the trail for a while got easier, and I was able to pick up some speed. And the two of the aid stations were just amazing, because I would come in and they would say, "Don't stop, you still have time to finish." And they would put a foil package in my hand, and it would be food, and I could keep on going and not waste any time.
Wow.
And so the last aid station, I was like 7 minutes before the cutoff, and then I finished like 15 minutes or 20 minutes before the final cutoff. So
wow,
that was not what I wanted, but that was a great race too. So I treasure my Western States experience.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. And you've run Keys, haven't you, a couple times?
Yes.
So what is that like, going from Oregon to the bottom of Miami in the heat and humidity? Is that a difficult transition?
The heat and humidity is like, that's a little bit surprising, because you think, oh, 88, 89, 90, I can run in that. I've done that before. But it's different when it's humid, you know, it's much tougher. And the last one was particularly tough. If I didn't have a crew giving me ice all the time, I wouldn't have made it. And I think as the decades go on, they're going to have to move the race, or it's going to run into the danger zone where people are going to keel over. You can't.
Yeah.
Once it gets past a certain temperature and humidity, there's a little curve that you can follow that it's too hot, you know, that you're going to, your body can't shed the heat. You're going to get heat exhaustion.
Yeah. Have you ever thought of running Badwater?
I thought about it, but somebody once said, "Why should I run Badwater? I can run 500-mile races for the same amount of money that I would spend going to Badwater."
Amen.
So,
amen, brother.
I've been down there twice to crew. And so when you first go down there, you think, I don't even know if I can pace for 2 or 3 miles. It's so darn high, you know. But it's amazing. It's because it's dry and you've got water all the time and you can actually function in that heat. So that was kind of fun, eye-opening, you know.
I don't know. I look at it and I'm just like, I don't think I ever want to run in heat that high. So thank you very much. I'll pass. But I admire all the people that can do it. So I think they're amazing. And now you've done a couple of the big 200 milers also, haven't you?
No, not exactly. I went to Moab, and you know, being the first time in the course and being inexperienced, I got lost near the end. I had a nosebleed, and I got lost, and
My gosh.
I didn't make it to the final cutoff. I finished the whole race, and since then, I've tried Moab again, and I tried Tahoe and failed because I developed a leaning problem. I think that's common with older runners. And in my case, my back starts seizing up when I start leaning really bad, and I just can't move on.
And that lean kind of happened to you this year at the Dome, didn't it? A little bit.
Yes, but it was like the very last part of the race, so it didn't really affect me. So, talking about passing information back and forth between runners, I'd be happy if you have any ideas about that.
Yeah, the only thing that I have seen and read is that the lean is a core challenge. And so one of the things that I have read that can help you with that is to increase the strength of your core. And then that will help to kind of draw you back up tight. I won't say I didn't have the leans. I had a little bit of a lean in at the Dome this last time. It was around the 36-hour mark, and Barney came up behind me. Barney Riesbeck came up behind me, and he said, "Mike, you're leaning a little bit." And I was like, "Okay, I just need to take a little bit of break." And I went and actually put my feet up against the wall. I laid down on the concrete, put my feet up against the wall, and just did a lot of, just deep breathing. And it did. It straightened me back up again. So it's really, yeah, it's kind of making taking the pause that you need to take and get recentered again. But strength exercises for the core, I hear, is very beneficial.
There's a runner from Oregon who said he thinks it's a neurological thing that you know how your fingers and your other tissues start swelling during a race? Well, if there's a little bit of swelling in the brain, then you may not have control over your core. And so you're leaning a lot, and there's nothing you can do to straighten out because it's not a muscle problem, it's a neurological problem.
So maybe that's
So,
why laying down flat and just doing the deep breathing exercises helped. I don't know.
yeah, maybe. I don't know.
We'll definitely get a chance to find out again, won't we, Dave?
Yes.
There you go.
Keep
That is
on playing with
awesome.
it. It's hard to experiment with it though, because you can only do the you can't do these races every week or two, you know.
There's no way to do it every week. Well, one, I think our spouses would kill us if we tried to do it that often. So, that's always a good idea not to do it. But yeah, the other reason is I don't think our bodies could ha hold up to it. So
No.
it's awesome. All right. So last year, 6 days in the Dome, you did 122 miles, and then you came back and across the years. And I remember at across the years, you were cruising pretty well, if I remember right. And then was it the last sleep? What, there's something happened to you kind of right towards the end of the thing that kind of slowed you down. What was that?
Well, I don't remember that across the years. Across the years, I did about the same mileage.
Oh,
And
did you?
yes.
And
And
then
then
the Dome this year, what'd you end up doing?
I did like 115. And I would lay down, and my leg would start twitching and be really sore and all that. I couldn't get enough sleep, so I missed some hours that way. So I found out I've been laying on my hand with my leg, and evidently it doesn't bother me normally, but evidently it bothered me there, so I have to stop that habit.
Is that like laying on your back or?
Laying on my side.
Oh, laying.
So normally I have a little bit of what do you call it? Hip bursitis.
Yeah. Okay.
And so then I put my hand under my leg so that the pressure point is at a different place. And that's worked really well. But then it bit me at the 6 days of the dome. So.
Oh, wow. Not the time you wanted it to bite you, huh?
No.
Always fun. So what's next
for? It's still a good race.
Yeah, you had a great race. I thought you were really, really steady. I remember in the second day, I kept on looking at your number, thinking I'm never going to get here. I'm never going to pass David. It seemed to, like it kept on getting further and further away, and I just kept on going, gosh, I don't know how I'm ever going to get past David, and somehow I did. I'm not quite sure how, but yeah, that number was up there.
Sometimes these races, they just ebb and flow. Sometimes you go slower and slower and you think, oh man, it's going to be a long 48 hours. And then you maybe take a nap or you bounce back or whatever. It's kind of the nature of it.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you bounced back.
Yeah. I was glad I bounced back too. I think it was the 35 minute nap that I took. It was my first nap, and it was probably about the 38 hour mark. I finally just said, you know, I got to lay down and take a nap. And so I just curled up and took a nice 35 minute nap, set my alarm, got back up, splashed some cold water on my face, and set off again. So it really made a difference. So I remember talking to you before the race. I had said that I was going to try and go all 48 hours without sleeping. That didn't work.
Oh, yeah. That's a long time.
Yeah. Well, that was my first 48-hour race. I'd done the 72 and across the years. And, yeah, it's just not possible to go a full 48 hours without at least a couple naps.
No, for 98% of the runners, no.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably some that can do it.
Yeah. There's this woman named Martina. I forget her last name. Martina Hausman. She would come to Across the Years all the time. But she was in this race in Europe, a six-day race. And this is the story she tells. But Giannis Kouros was in the race, and he's like ultra-running god. He's
legend.
Like, yes, nobody can touch him.
Nope.
But he came to the race, and he had the flu to start with. And Martina, she's very slow, but she's very consistent. One time I was in a race with her, and I was – went to the side and was brushing my teeth, and I saw her walking down the track brushing her teeth. So she took advantage of every minute she was there, you know.
That's awesome.
So she was at the 6 day race, and she was beating Giannis Kouros because he was just feeling terrible. He couldn't do anything. And she was so jazzed about that she says she only slept 10 minutes in 6 days.
Oh.
And of course, he eventually, after a day or two, he felt a lot better and he was able to pass her up. But she was just thrilled to be able to say she was beating Giannis Kouros, you know.
But 10 minutes in 6 days, I think I would have collapsed at the end of the race and just face planted across the finish line.
Oh, I don't think it's good for you either. I know people have done experiments on themselves trying to stay awake for long periods of time, and sometimes it warps your brain. It's not good.
Right. So what's kind of on your agenda for the future, Dave?
There's a walking relay thing that we do for fun, and then a 50K, and then I'll go back to Across the Years.
Oh, do the 48 hour again?
Yeah. And then next year there's 100K at Lake Tahoe that has a 24 hour cutoff. So I may still be able to do that. So that one's kind of irresistible.
I've never heard of 100K with a 24-hour cutoff. That's amazing.
And maybe it's associated with a 100-miler. I don't know. Or maybe they just had, in the past, they didn't have very many finishers. So they said, well, let's just make it 24 hours.
Oh,
you still
got
to
cool.
You still got to do the distance. You still got to go up to near 10,000 feet. But yeah, that sounds doable.
I was going to say a 24-hour 100K sounds very doable. Wow. Huh. That's intriguing.
I'm to the point where I can't meet the cutoffs for 100 milers anymore, even flat ones, but that one sounds doable. So we'll see.
Yep. That's awesome. Cool. Will you go back to the dome again next year?
No, because this other race is at the same time.
Okay. All right.
So I have to make that difficult choice, but yeah, I'll probably go to Tahoe.
There you go. That sounds awesome. So what is the thing that you would recommend to younger runners coming up that, are looking, people that go and they research and they see everything that Dave's done. What is kind of one of your recommendations to younger runners coming up?
Never discount yourself. Like, I'm very average. And when I was in high school, I couldn't get in on any of the teams for anything. But if you're persistent and you really enjoy this, then go for it, And when you go to a race, keep an open mind. Doing, like, especially a mountain 100 miler, it's not just doing as fast as you can. You have to be a problem solver, because you always have bad spots. Always problems that come up, like blisters, or you just feel terrible or whatever. I've been in races where I felt so terrible. It's like, why did I sign up for this race? I'm going to quit as soon as I can and all that. And then you continue on, and after another 10 miles, like, well, I feel pretty good. That's pretty amazing, So just never give up. If you're injured and you're going along and it's getting worse and worse, then yes, you definitely quit. But if you get to an aid station and you're about to tell the aid station cap you're going to quit, don't tell them that right away. Sit in a chair for 20 minutes, drink a Coke and get refueled, and then see how you feel after 20 minutes. And then lots of times you'll be up and on the trail again. It's pretty amazing.
That's a great tip. You see a lot of DNFs because people just go, I'm not moving as fast as I was. I give up. They don't know that you've got so much time. I mean, if you think about, your typical 100 milers, and 100 milers are starting to get difficult for me to even think about doing. But you think about the 32 to 35 hour, or even 30 to 35 hour cutoff is, typical 100 milers. Most of the time, you've got a time bank in there that if you're not feeling it, you can stop and take a 10 minute nap. And who knows, you're going to get up, drink a Coke, have some food. You might feel awesome again and go out and get it. But if you pull your bib, you're done.
I had my first 48 hour. I was feeling tired the first night, and I laid down and my legs were just twitching like mad, and I figured that out since then. But so I didn't sleep. I was laying in my sleeping bag for 5 hours and didn't hardly sleep. And I thought, oh, my race is ruined. I did all the pity thing, and I'm lying there listening to people going around and around. I'm thinking, well, this is ridiculous to feeling sorry for myself. I could at least get out and walk around the track a little bit. And within a couple of laps, I was running again. And that race, I came in second. So it's like, never give up. Never give up. There's another case where at the Keys, it's a bit being humid, and the humidity gets in your socks and you get terrible blisters, and I hadn't figured it out yet. And so I got to the finish line and I had these huge blisters and I was limping and everything like that. And this other couple asked us for a ride back to Key Largo. And I said, oh, how'd you do? Oh, we dropped because we had blisters, and they were walking just fine. They didn't know that they didn't have the experience to know that they could continue and try to deal with it and try to problem solve,
I think that's one of the things I love the most about these ultra marathons is the ability to go out and problem solve and sit there and go, okay, all right, my toes are just totally aching and I don't feel like I can put any pressure on them. What do I do? And just to go through it and figure it out yourself, ask other people, hey, this is what I'm dealing with. What do you have you ever heard of this? What do you do to do? And there's so many people that have done, and they've experienced what we've experienced and they can help you out. So I think it's awesome, the whole problem solving it. So I'm glad you brought that up.
And one thing that's really nice about the ultra running community is, any runner will help you. If you're in a marathon, nobody's going to talk to you. Everybody's super focused. But if they find you on the trail or on the side of the road and you ask them a question, they'll be more than willing to help you. There's a guy, Andy Lovey, who would come to Across the Years, and he would run for a little bit, and then he would somebody would have a problem, and he'd go in the medical tent, and he was an osteopath, or something like that. And he would fix it. And so his whole thing was like running and helping people. And it was pretty amazing.
Yeah. And the ultra running community is full of people like that. I think it's just incredible.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So wrapping this up, the name of the podcast is Living an Ultra Life. So when you hear that, what's the first thing that pops into your head?
Well, everybody has to have their passion, and whatever your passion is, you got to get out. Even if you're not really passionate about ultra running, you got to get out. You got to keep moving. You got to follow your passion.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, you certainly proved that over a long duration of time. Somebody who's run since 1999. Have you ever counted how many ultra finishes you have?
It's a little shy of 100, but
wow. Amazing experience. And I'm sure you've got so many stories. Let's not finish. What's your favorite story of an ultra marathon that you ran, like an experience that you'll never forget?
Well, one thing that was kind of humorous is like, it was at the Western States. At the beginning, you have this big slope you climb up, the ski slope, the road that goes up the ski slope. And I fell in with, dang, I can't remember his name now. The guy who started Western States, the very first runner, Gordy Ansley. So I fell in with him and started talking with him a little bit because we seemed to be going the same pace. And this camera guy comes up and he's backpedaling in front of us, filming us. And Gordy turns to me and says, "Oh, I didn't know you were famous." So
that's awesome.
Yeah, sense of humor. Yeah.
That is awesome.
But it's amazing. You run with people who are back of the Packers, and you run with people who are just incredible athletes, you know, that are elites, and you meet all kinds of people. It's a great sport.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
It's an amazing community. Thank you for being a part of it, David. You're an amazing man, and I'm so glad I've had the opportunity to meet you.
Well, thanks, Mike.
Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultra Life.